Welcome to the Realize Soul podcast with Tessa Alburn. Receive a healthy dose of soothing vibes, heartfelt stories, and sweet soul wisdom for thriving outside of the conventional world.
Hello, and welcome to Realized Soul. I'm Tessa Lynn Alburn. Today, I'm going to be sharing some insights, some problems, and some solutions for what I am calling the good girl identity syndrome. And how this good girl identity syndrome is keeping you from having your freedom and peace that you are longing for. As I reflect upon my own life, certainly, and also the lives of many of my clients, there are some themes that show up around this good girl identity syndrome. I've got four main ones for you, and you may resonate with all of them or just some of them, but wherever you resonate, this is an area in your life where you could start to make some changes, where you could start to have a little more foothold, a little more purchase on feeling empowered and more authentic and free. So let me get into the four main areas of the good girl identity syndrome. The first one is going to be people pleasing. Oh my gosh, it makes so much sense, right? Please, doing things to please others. To please, maybe it started back with mom and dad, or maybe with a school teacher, favorite school teacher, or like when you first got into kindergarten or first grade or second grade, at some point it was like, oh my gosh, I can be seen, I can be acknowledged if I'm pleasing others. And there's nothing wrong with that to begin with. Like, it's a natural thing to want to, you know, get along with others, to be, make things happy and to please others, because there can be a give and a take, right? Sometimes when we please others, then we get to also receive the joy of having done that, or the other person saying, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Thank you so much. But all too often, people pleasing is a conditioning out of survival. And that's when it's not healthy. When we thought we had to survive because we would be pushed out of the family, we'd be made fun of, we'd be humiliated, or maybe in school, we'd be embarrassed, humiliated, shamed, etc. We learn, we take this affect on, this behavior on to please others peremptorily so that we have their approval before anything happens. And the other side of people pleasing is always putting yourself second or third or fourth or fifth, etc. People pleasing requires that you put others first. Oh, what happens with that over time? Well, just look around. You see a lot of people doing different people-pleasing in their own way, and it might just be short little snippets, but if you've got people-pleasing as part of your identity, it's going to be really entrenched. You're going to not feel like you can actually say what you mean. You're going to feel like you shouldn't speak up for what you need. You're going to feel like a burden if you ask for help or for support. And you're also going to be holding yourself to a higher standard than most other people hold themselves. That's right. Not everybody holds themselves to a high standard. So if you, for example, I had a lot of people pleasing around my parents. For me, it was to avoid punishment, to avoid rejection, to avoid, you know, like a kind of like a dangerous scenario. It doesn't have to be like that, though. It could just be like, you know, not being humiliated, right? So we people please to, so that we avoid being shamed. And for me, one of the biggest areas where I was people pleasing was certainly around my grades, right? Always needing to get an A. It wasn't enough to get a B+ or to pass. My goodness, a C was just like, what? Are you kidding? I needed to know that I was secure in that A so I wouldn't, say, get in trouble or I wouldn't be picked on and teased. I hated teasing. Just hated it. It just felt like such a diminishment of who I was. I didn't know how to put that into words back then. You know, I was 13 years old, 10 years old, but I could feel it. It was just mean. It felt mean when people diminish me. So I was like, screw that. I'm smarter than you all. I was going to say a-holes, but I'm going to say I'm smarter than all of you. And so I just started to get like that little report card that would prove it. And then there was no discussion. No one could hold anything over me until, of course, I didn't get the A, and then that was a problem. But there was this need, deep need in me to people please first so I could avoid some negative consequence. And that may be true for you somewhere in your life. It may not be about report cards, but it might be about how you present yourself in your mood. Let's say, oh, we don't, you know, maybe you don't want to be admitting that you're not feeling on top of the world every single day. And the more we do behaviors like that, like we just cover it up a little bit, right? Or we don't express the truth, then we start to really diminish ourselves. We start to like add this, it's almost like a blanket onto our soul of sadness. It just sort of resides there over time. Heaviness, sad, maybe not sadness, could be heaviness, could be just feeling like aloneness, nobody gets me. And over time, it builds and builds and builds and builds because it's hard to know when or how to break out of that. But one of the things you're going to want to learn is how to be, quote unquote, selfish in a healthy way. And I am pretty certain if you are a people pleaser, you don't know much about being selfish. You're always trying to make sure everybody else is taken care of before you. And that's like the opposite. And it's also not healthy. It cannot be sustained over time. What happens is you wind up selling yourself out, selling yourself short. And of course, you can't feel free because you're beholden to others first. The second area of the good girl identity syndrome that I want to touch on here is perfectionism. And perfectionism can go hand in hand with people pleasing a lot of the time, but not always. So you want to look around in your life, like where you're trying to be perfect and why you're doing it. It's really essential for you to have freedom and peace in your life. It's going to be essential for you to learn how to be okay with making mistakes and not feeling like it's the end of the world if you do make a mistake. I think one of the areas in my life was around my body image. And because I was so good at so many things, it was really musical, you know, talented, smart, all that stuff. But my body was holding the pain. And even though I wasn't that overweight, my pain was amplified that anything overweight was super, 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 super bad. And therefore, I wasn't like worthy of love. I wasn't worthy of distinction. I certainly wasn't worthy of respect. And at any moment, I could be humiliated. So striving to be perfect was an important goal of mine. I needed to be perfect because I didn't know how to handle any kind of criticism, any kind of joking, any kind of put down whatsoever. Like if I wasn't at the top of the class, then I was not okay and I wasn't safe. that is a huge burden to live with. And so if you're struggling with that, I want you to just know that it's okay for you not to be perfect. And it, even though you didn't have that experience early on in life, it is okay now. And I'm sorry that you didn't get the okay back then. The third element of the good girl syndrome I want to include here today is not expressing your feelings. Because let's face it, like not expressing or expressing your feelings was just probably not even allowed in your situation, or it wasn't okay, or there was going to be some sort of ickiness that you would have to fall out, that you'd have to deal with if you did express your feelings. I think the only feelings I had like two levels of feelings that I expressed as a young girl. One of them was sadness, and that was okay to a certain point, but it couldn't be too sad, you know, no tears. You could just be neutrally sad. But I could not express anger. That was like, oh, well, I need to really look out now for my safety. If I were to express anger or upset or frustration, any level of frustration was disallowed and punished. So there were hard consequences in my youth for having feelings outside of anything except nothing, neutral, numbness, or happiness. But even too much happiness wasn't okay either, and that's another story. But so there were just all these rules around what I was supposed to be feeling and what I was supposed to not be expressing. When we become adults and when we're living our lives and we actually are safe, we're not like at the will of a dangerous parent, let's say, or a humiliating, shaming one, then when we continue to not express our feelings, we are stifling our own voice and our truth. And the more we do this, the bigger the sense of oppression grows. That it's like our soul is just crying to be heard, and we're holding back because we're so scared, or we don't want to rock the boat, let's say. Like, oh, we don't want to say something because somebody else could get upset. And then that feeds right back into the people-pleasing. Because if we were to upset someone, then we're not pleasing them. And therefore, again, we are not enough. We're not good enough. Or worse, we are bad for having done that. Not expressing your feelings ties into the fourth element that I'm talking about here today, which is not speaking your truth. So feelings are feelings, but your truth is like that stuff that you know. And even as a child, you knew stuff. You knew what you liked, what you disliked. You, most of the time, you knew these things. And you might have been told that's not true. And you might have been pushed around and said, no, well, you can't have that. But you knew when something was right inside yourself, and that still applies. So now it's like you see what's happening in the world. You want to make a contribution. You want things to be better. You want people to be more mindful, but you're not able to actually speak your truth fully because there's some anxiety or some fear there, or worrying that you're going to upset someone else. One of the things that I'm seeing with clients who are very successful, you know, might have their own business, or they're high up in senior management in a big corporation. When they're not speaking their truth there, they're literally unconsciously setting their own glass ceiling. Because they're making it okay that they're achieving less than their colleagues, and they're trying to be okay with it. This again is tied back into people pleasing, of course, and appearing to be the good girl. So there are a lot of ways that these things weave in together and connect. But I want to give you a few tips here today, ways that you could start to unpack this, unravel it, because you are here for a reason. And the last thing I know that you want is to be like on your deathbed, whenever that, it could be way out there. But when you're on that deathbed and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I lived a great life. No, wait a second. I didn't speak up. Oh, I lived for somebody else. My father, mother, brother, friend. You know, it doesn't even have to be a relation. It can be friends. We do this all the time. Trying to be everything to a friend, but not asking for what we actually need in that relationship. Terrified to say, I need some support here. So here are some of the things that I want to encourage you to start practicing or looking at the very least, looking at these things. I want you to start to let go of your fear of betraying authority figures, whether those are teachers, parents, friends, or anyone whom you feel you just can't risk anything with. Let go of your fear of betraying them, because you're not. When you are out of the good girl syndrome and you're literally being authentic, you're giving them a bigger gift. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to let other people stew in their own stuff from time to time. Right? So maybe you have a friend who like needs a lot of encouragement, or they need to cry on your shoulder and you're like, okay. You know, yeah, I can give you 2 hours of my time to listen to you. Go on ad infinitum. Well, maybe instead of that, just let your girlfriend know that you care about them. Let them have their own feelings and figure out a way to be with them. Or if somebody's mad at you, so what? Let them be mad. And I know this probably is a wrinkle, like you're like, oh my God, I could never do that. I've got to fix it. I've got to make it okay. That's just a sign that you've got the good girl identity syndrome. And what you really want to do is build your capacity for the discomfort when someone else is upset. This is also a gift to them for their own evolution. So in a way, you're helping them if you let them do that. The third thing I want you to know about today is to raise your ability, and I already touched on it a little bit, raise your ability to receive criticism and praise. So in the praise area, rather than it be about your performance or something you did, start looking for places where you're receiving praise around who you are and how you show up, and let that joy grow within you of the receiving of that, and let yourself feel seen and feel heard, feel acknowledged for who you actually are. Fourth, I want you to start making some bold mistakes, maybe even rebel now and then. But here's the caveat. I want you to rebel in healthy ways, should you choose to do so. Not in self-sabotaging ways. Okay, so often with the good girl identity syndrome, we have that flip side, which is the rebeller. And trust me, I know all about that. And we get into trouble. You know, we crash cars, or, you know, we go on a bender, whatever it is, and we really upset people. And then it takes a lot of repair to get things back. But to rebel by standing in your truth, saying no, by setting boundaries, that can be your rebellion. make bold mistakes, make choices that take you out of performing for others and being that good girl, that allow you to actually start to express what's really inside of you, the goodness inside of you, the vision that you have for the world, the freedom that you want to be yourself. And lastly, and most importantly, I want you to remember that your soul is sacred. It's just as sacred as everyone else's. And it is your adult responsibility to take care of your soul. So come into harmony with that. Listen to your soul. Step into new ways of expressing, new ways of being that are in harmony with the truth of your soul. Not just one-sided stuff where, of course, if you're one of my listeners, you want to do good things. I get that. But you don't want to be identified with having to do good things to be okay. You are already inherently good and you are already inherently lovable. And it's okay for you to speak your truth. Now, if you want some help with that, if you are like, oh my God, that sounds great, but I have no idea how I would do that without trashing my world and my relationships, like that could be really scary, I don't know how to say it, all that stuff. If you want to connect with me and explore the possibility of having some support for that, so that you have balance, so you can have freedom of expression and greater connection with the people in your life, then go to this website. It's tinyurl.com/connectwithtessa. So no spaces in there. Just tinyurl.com/connectwithtessa, two S's. And there's a quick and easy form that you can fill out. It just take a few little minutes, under 10 minutes. And I'll get it and I will read it. And then connect with you to see if we're going to have a conversation to look at working together to see if that's a good fit. Thank you for listening today. You're invited to come back in a couple of weeks for more soothing vibes and inspiration for thriving outside of the conventional world. And may you connect with who you truly are and honor her. Aho.
Thank you for listening to Realize Soul. If you love what you heard, please share us with your friends. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast directory.